Healing Word with Bill and Sandy Griffin, bringing hope and healing to our generation. Welcome to The Healing Word. Your hosts, Bill and Sandy Griffin of the Christian Counseling Center in Pickerington, Ohio. We have an exciting program for you today. The subject is, It is Finished. And where did we hear that word from? From the cross. And our very special guest is Dr. Richard Booker, and he's going to be sharing with us on that topic.
There is nobody who could bring this message as well as Dr. Booker. You are in for such a treat and a revelation of the love and the Spirit of God.
The Lord gave us a scripture today, and the scripture comes from John 19 from the NIV, the death of Jesus. Later, knowing that everything had been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it and put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. And when he had received the drink, Jesus said, It is finished. And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Sandy, would you open us in prayer?
Father, what an incredible act of love. And Lord, open the eyes of our understanding. Jesus, as you walked with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, you opened scripture to them. And I pray that we would walk with you right now. And Lord, that you would open scripture, just bring revelation. Help us to understand so great a love. And Lord, help us to understand the pouring out of your blood and the covenant. And Lord, those that don't know you, we pray that they would come to the banqueting table, that they would come to the cross of Christ, that they would come to the eternal blood covenant. And Lord, come by your Holy Spirit now, impart your word and your heart to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, our very special guest, Dr. Richard Booker, is an ordained Christian minister. He's the president of Sounds of the Trumpet and founder director of the Institute for Hebraic Christian Studies. He and his wife, Peggy, lead yearly tour groups to Israel. And for 18 years, Dr. Booker was a speaker at the International Christian Celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem that's attended by over 5,000 believers from 100 nations every year. And Dr. Booker is the author of some 30 books, which are used in churches and Bible schools around the world. And we're so pleased to have him joining us today on the subject of It Is Finished.
Welcome, Dr. Booker.
Sandy, God bless you and all your listeners. I pray that whoever's listening can, whether they're driving around or you know, at home or whatever, can just, you know, hit the pause button of their life just for the next 28 minutes or so and hear a word from God that might change their life forever.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
And that's what the Word of God has the capability of doing, to change our lives. The government can't change our lives. You know, people can't, but the living Word of the living God can come rushing into our lives.
Yes.
And change everything in an instant. Mm-hmm. And make that which is ugly and death into beauty and life.
Which is what this season is all about.
We've just passed that Good Friday experience, and now we're at that Easter resurrection time. But there's something so significant that happened at that noon hour.
Bill and Sandy, Peggy, my wife and I just came back recently from our 26th Israel Feast of Tabernacles teaching tour, mm-hmm. And the tomb is still empty. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
You go to any part of the world, to the founders of the other religions, and you go to their tomb, and you learn about their teachings. You go to Jerusalem, and there's empty tombs.
Yes.
And you learn about the life of a person.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. He is not here. He is risen.
He is risen.
As he said he would do, and he can come and live in our hearts and bring a new life experience into all of our lives.
Amen. Amen. So, Richard, God gave us the topic and told us to call you. And so he wants us to just rally around the words, It is finished, the divine exchange of the cross. Could you take it from there?
Wow. Do we have a 3-day seminar lined up?
Yes. Who knows?
Wow. It is finish. Well, you know, why would the Jesus have to die in the first place? You know, people ask this question. Of course, it's a good question. Because of sin, God is not this angry judge up in heaven who hates people. He made us. He loves us. You know,
yes.
Like parents who make a baby, and they know this baby is going to cause them a lot of grief, but out of their love for each other, they want to share a new life.
Yes.
And so God wasn't lonely or anything, you know, but he wanted to share his life. He made us. And we have rebelled against him, you know, like children do sometimes. But parents still love their kids. God still loves us. But he's way up there in heaven. He can't really do much up there because we're way down here. And so God became one of us to be part of us and live with us. And experience the human life that we have in all of its temptations and heartaches and victories. And because he never knew sin, he could become the sin substitute for us that God needed because our sin separates us from God. And God is not angry about us. He just hates the sin. So he had to do something about it because he loves us. So Jesus lived this perfectly. He was born perfect. He lived a perfect life. He never even wanted to sin, much less doing it. And so he had to be the sacrifice for our sin as a way not to appease an angry God, but a way for us to draw near to God. There's a Hebrew word for sacrifice, korban. It means to draw near.
Mm-hmm.
So I want the listeners to grasp that God is not this angry God up there in heaven trying to find ways to hurt us. He's this loving Father who found the way for us to draw near to him. It's through the death, burial, and resurrection of his Son. And so from the very beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, God told them to kill an animal, and he clothed them with the skins of the animal. And when he looked at them, he didn't see them in their sins. This is some good news coming up.
Yes,
he saw the sacrificial garments on them, and it was those garments of the animals was their garment of salvation, their robe of righteousness. God looked at them, and he saw that a sacrifice had been made in their place. So here's the question for everybody. Would you rather pay the penalty for your own sins, or would you rather have somebody else do that for you who's qualified? The answer is clear. We'd rather have somebody else who's qualified.
Thank you.
Yes.
Jesus is the only qualified human being. And so throughout the Hebrew Bible, what Christians call the Old Testament, God gave all these sacrificial offerings as pictures of the time when Jesus would come. But the blood of bulls and goats can only cover sin. It can't take sin away. So they had to keep offering the animals over and over and over. And Jesus came as the human Lamb of God. He did what the animals could not do. It was the final once and for all perfect sacrifice. And all of that background is wrapped up in his one phrase, "It is finished."
Amen. Richard, describe for our listeners, right before we went on, you were saying how God as spirit had to become embodied. Pick up from there.
People rightly so ask, and we can understand, well, why can't God do something about the troubles we have down here and the evil that we have on the earth? Why can't he just, you know, do something? But he's in heaven, and we're down here. So the only way we can get together is for God to come down here. So God is spirit, the Bible tells us. He's not flesh and blood human being like us. He's a spirit being. So there's an issue here. He's not one of us, you see.
Mm-hmm.
He's up there, we're down here, and we're human flesh and blood. He's not that. So the only way that he could help us is to become one of us.
Yes.
And so the Bible tells us that before God ever even created, he's outside of time and space, he knew what his plan would be to help us. And so when it was the right time in history, God prepared for himself a body and entered into the human race through the virgin birth of Jesus of Nazareth, and he had flesh and blood and bone in him. He was a human being like us, but without sin.
Right.
But he was tempted like we all are, but he never responded to those things. So therefore, he lived a perfect life. He had pure, spotless blood, was not, you know, corrupted blood from humans passing down to our children. So he was what in the book of Ruth is called our near kinsman.
Kinsman Redeemer.
He was our near kinsman who was qualified then as God in human flesh to be the once and for all perfect sacrifice for our sins.
Amen. Taking our place as kinsman redeemer.
Our place. And throughout history, if anybody can study ancient civilizations and anthropology, these kinds of things, you find out that throughout history, by nature, tribes understood, clans understood that if there was some great plague or something, you found the most innocent person in the tribe, and you offered that person's life to God to try to gain a relationship with the God and stop the bad things happening.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
So people have, it's called eternity in their heart. Somebody wrote a book by that name decades ago. People have always understood that an innocent person must die for the guilty in order to find the relationship with God. Not to appease his anger, but to find a relationship with him.
Mm.
And so it's always been an innocent has to die for the guilty.
Yeah.
This is birthed in our hearts. It's something we know by instinct. And the ultimate reality of that is when God became flesh, the ultimate innocent one, Jesus of Nazareth.
Yes.
And he, out of love, died for our sins. We're the guilty ones, so that we can have a relationship with God and draw near to him.
I meant to fulfill the covenant that he made with himself. Describe that.
Well, absolutely. In Hebrews 13, 20 and 21, which is some of the most powerful verses in the whole Bible, God talks about, the writer of Hebrews talks about God having an everlasting covenant.
Mm.
And what this means is that before God ever created, see, God is outside of time and space, so he all of creation is within him. And so he had this plan of redemption and salvation before he even created us. You know, he set the end from the beginning.
Yes.
And so he made within himself a covenant. And since God is everlasting and eternal, the Bible calls it an everlasting covenant, where he swore by himself that in the fullness of time, he would lay aside his blazing glory and dazzling beauty and come into the earth and shed his own blood for the forgiveness of sin, that we can be reconciled to God. So it's called the blood of the everlasting
covenant.
Yes.
And God is a faithful covenant-keeping God. God keeps his word to himself.
And that covenant was between the Father and the Son. It was not. A lot of people understand that the covenant was between God and us, and it wasn't.
Well, that's true, and that's a huge difference. I've tried to teach this for 41 years now. I think a part of it is using just the way we talk. You know, we say God's covenant with Abraham and
yes,
and these kinds of phrases. That's just human talk, I think. But it's actually God's covenant with himself. If you go back and reread Genesis 15, when Abraham and God are having their discussion there, you know, put
yes,
it that way, God puts Abraham to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
He had nothing to do with
right,
it.
That's
and
true.
God let Abraham see in his sleep the glory of God passing between the pieces of flesh. It's called a smoking furnace and a burning lamp. He saw the glory of God passing between the pieces of flesh. He put Abraham out of the way because he messed it up, you know.
Sure.
And so he was saying to Abraham, I'm making this covenant by myself for you, to do for you what you cannot do for yourself.
Thank you,
Lord.
This
is a covenant that God has made with himself.
Yes.
And God is faithful to himself.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah that he accomplished.
I mean, if we had anything to do with this, Bill and Sandy, we'd mess it up.
That's right.
Yeah, we would.
For sure, you know. So God just put us aside and said, I will do this for you. Wow, it's not with us. It's for us.
It's
That's
for
a
us.
Huge difference.
So, Richard, help our eyes to see what happened after Jesus' death on the cross. What did he do with his blood? Where did he go?
This is so amazing. I would encourage people, if they have a Bible, to read the book of Hebrews in the New Testament sometimes, which explains these things. But also, in only my favorite book of the Bible, Leviticus chapter 16, is the high priest went into the Holy of Holies one day of the year, mm-hmm. and he sprinkled his blood on the Ark of the Covenant. Most people know about the Ark of the Covenant from the movies, and it had elements in the Ark that was a reminder of people's sins. You know, the broken stone tablets, Aaron's rod that budded, the pot of manna. And these were symbols of the Hebrews' sins in the 40 years of wanderings. But one day of the year, Bill and Sandy, the high priest would go in and he would sprinkle the blood from the sacrifice on the lid or top mm-hmm. of this ark.
Yes.
And that made that lid be came to be called the mercy seat of God. So when God looked down, his blazing glory was hovering over the ark.
Mm.
And that one day of the year, he would look down and he would not see, oh, hallelujah,
yeah.
the evidences of their sins. He would see the blood and that covered their sins for one more year.
Mm.
But you see, they had to keep doing it year after year after year. The high priest, maybe he forgot how to do it. Maybe he was drunk. Maybe he didn't want to do it anyway, you know. It was pretty testy here, as we need somebody better than what they had.
Yes.
Jesus is the better high priest. He's
Thank you, Lord.
Greater than Moses. He's greater than the sacrifices. He's greater than the tabernacle. He is the tabernacle
yes.
of God
yes.
in human flesh. And after his resurrection, he went into heaven.
Thank you,
and using
Thank
these
you.
Terms that they could understand, sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat of God in
yes.
heaven. What it means is he showed himself to his Father as a once and for all perfect, faithful sacrifice, and then he sat down at the right hand of God on the throne of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. As King of kings and Lord of lords.
Now,
and people get confused about this, but in ancient times, a king would share his throne with his son to show the people that this was the successor, you see?
Yes.
You see these old movies of this sometime.
Mm-hmm.
So it says Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father. It's just ways of explaining that he is the heir of all of creation. Hallelujah.
Yes.
He is King of kings and Lord of lords.
And he paid the price.
And he's invited us to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ.
Oh, absolutely. This is the beautiful application. No matter what we might be going through in life, and we all have struggles in life, that's just part of life. Jesus has conquered all these struggles. And that doesn't mean that we don't have the struggles. We have even more sometime when we're walking with God in an anti-God world. But it means that Jesus puts his Ruach, his Holy Spirit, inside of us. It's his life in us, and he brings heaven's realities onto the earth inside us. The same Spirit that raised him from the dead can dwell inside the human bodies of his people, and the Spirit of God in us can help us overcome and live in joyous victory through the struggles of life. Not won't have them anymore, but we'll have the peace and joy of God through these struggles in life.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Because it is finished.
It's finished.
It
we don't
is
have to
finished.
Try to please God by doing something to earn his love and blessing and favor. He's already shown that we We have his love and blessing and favor by what he did for us. We just have to receive that and internalize that and allow the Spirit of God to rise up out of our spirit into our soul and live the life of Jesus through our bodies. Hallelujah. We're salt of the earth. We're the light of the world.
Hallelujah.
We change the world for Jesus. Praise his name forever.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. This is shouting.
I just encountered in 1974, Bill and Sandy, and I hope you can tell by our visit today, it's still as fresh right
it
now
sure
as it was then, 41 years
Amen.
Ago.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, yes. Glory.
It's alive. Jesus is alive.
He's alive.
And
yes.
He can live his life in us. This is not religion. It's a relationship.
That's right.
Describe for our listeners, what does "it is finished" mean to God, to us, and to the devil?
Well, to the devil, it means it's over for him.
It's done.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely.
Power is broken.
Absolutely. And his power is broken over us. The Bible says that Jesus spoiled principalities and powers, triumphing over them. It's a picture of the old Roman parade of triumph that you might see in the old movies.
Yes.
The conquering general would return to Rome with these people he's marching them through the streets of Rome, you know, as the conquered ones that he conquered. And so what the Bible says that Jesus, it is finished. He conquered sin so that we don't really have to sin as a way of life. Yes. We're all human. We make mistakes, but it's the exception, not the rule of our life.
Mm-hmm.
We can overcome these negative human side of our life. We can conquer sin. We will conquer death.
Yes.
Because Jesus has promised resurrection life to those who have a relationship with him.
And he's taken the sting of death.
Fear death, which is the great fear.
Thank you, Lord. That's
that people
right.
have, of course. Death.
Yes.
So his finish means he's conquered sin. He's conquered Satan. He's conquered death. There's nothing else to conquer. And we can have that victory living inside of us, waiting for the full manifestation of it when he calls us forth, either out of the grave or when we hear the last trumpet sound and we're caught up to meet him when he returns to the earth.
Yes, to rule and reign.
With him.
Yes.
And we are now citizens of God.
Well, absolutely. There's a scripture that is so misinterpreted in the Philippians. It says our citizenship is from above or above, and people think that means, well, I'm a Christian now, I'm going to heaven when I die. No, that's not what it is. Well, that's true too. Hallelujah.
That is, that is.
But you have to understand these things in the context. Philippi was a Roman colony, Bill and Sandy.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Roman colony. If you lived in Philippi, you had Roman privileges. You didn't have to pay taxes, that'd be nice, and other things. But so what Paul is writing to the believers in Philippi is not that the emphasis is not that when you die you're going to heaven, but you are a colony of heaven right there in Philippi.
Praise
now colonize
God.
Those Romans for the glory of Jesus.
Yeah. Christ,
man, you're a colony of heaven on the earth.
We are Christ's ambassadors.
Isn't that amazing? We're not just Americans or wherever you live. You know, we're heavenly beings on this planet.
Yes.
To bring the glory of God, the salt of the earth, the light of the world to people who are desperately looking for hope.
Richard, there are people hearing this and they need to be prayed into the kingdom. Would you lead them into that opening door?
Oh.
Thank you,
I just pray if you're listening on the radio program today, God bless you. God loves you, and he wants to come into your life. And I pray that you would join me right now and invite Jesus into your life. You can just say this prayer with me from your heart. Father in heaven, just say that prayer. Father in heaven, I know I'm separated from you with my sins. I don't have anything to offer but myself, and I ask your forgiveness. I want to know you, love you, and serve you, and I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of my sins and send your spirit into me to make me whole, a whole person. Wash away all of my sins. Take away all my guilt and condemnation, my failures, and spark new life in me by your Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, in your Son's merit and name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
You said
Thank
that you, prayer Lord. And mean it in your heart. It was some real Bible-believing, godly Christians in a small home group somewhere, and let them help you grow in the Lord.
Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Amen,
amen. Amen, amen. Dr. Richard Booker, would you share with our listening audience your website so they can contact and see what you have to offer?
We'd be glad to. www, all that stuff, you know.
Yes.
rbooker.com. It's for Richard Booker, rbooker.com.
Wonderful.
And there's enough on there to keep folks for the rest of their lives.
That's true. And more coming.
More coming.
Much more
Amen.
Coming.
God is good.
Richard, before we get off the air with you, describe to our listeners, it was at the Passover meal that Jesus, when he took the blood, which a lot of the church calls the Last Supper, but it was at the Passover, where he took the blood, the cup, and he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood." He spoke about not eating of that Seder meal again until the kingdom of God. Would you describe to our listeners what we have in store?
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. How many hours?
Yeah.
So beautiful. Thank you for putting that in its historical context.
Yes.
It was a Passover meal. Jesus, a Jewish man, was having with his Jewish disciples a Jewish festival of the Lord called Pesach or Passover. And it had become communion and the Lord's Supper for Christians, and that's fine. But the historical context is Passover. And Jesus is saying that this is the last time I'm going to eat with this with you for now.
Yes.
That's the good part.
Yes.
For now. Hallelujah. Oh, sure. For now. But his promise was that he is going to return.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He's going to return.
Yes.
And have that Passover meal again with his disciples. But it won't be just for his disciples, Bill and Sandy. As many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham.
Oh, hallelujah.
At this table of fellowship. It's different ways of saying it, but it's all the same thing, that when Jesus, he's going to return, he's returning as a Jewish Messiah and Savior and Lord and Redeemer, and all of the one new man of God's people, both Jew and Gentile, will celebrate with him the fullness of his life in us and with us, celebrating the festivals of the Lord at his return. Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles, and all the things in the Bible. I mean, we just came back from 5,000 Christians in Jerusalem celebrating Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles,
yes.
The Coming of the Lord Feast. So Christians are awakening to this
yes.
around the world.
Thank
it's
you,
a marvelous
Lord.
Thing to see.
Thank you, Richard. This has been so rich.
It's been
Thank
wonderful.
You for sharing with our listeners.
God bless you, and we hope to talk with you again soon.
God bless you.
Letting you know that God loves you so very much, and Bill and Sandy do too. Tune in next time.
You've been listening to The Healing Word, a radio outreach of the Christian Counseling Center in Pickerington, Ohio. The Healing Word is sponsored by the Christian Counseling Center and generous gifts of ministry friends. Visit us at griffincouncil.com. That's GRIFFINCOUNSEL.com. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast or any past broadcast, please go to healingwordradio.com. And thank you for listening.